Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, March 29, 2019. The time is 9:03 a.m. We are meeting in the Senate Finance Room in the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. This is Co-Chair Natasha Von Imhoff, and I'm joined today by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, and Senator Michicki. We have a quorum to do business. Today's agenda is Senate Bill 43, Extend Big Game Commercial Services Board. This is our only agenda item today. Senate Bill number 43, an act extending the termination date of the Big Game Commercial Services Board and providing for an effective date. Senate Finance first heard this bill on March 13, 2019. Chris Curtis reviewed the audit, we took public testimony, and reviewed the fiscal note. We also heard about investigations and what limitations the board has with respect to disciplinary sanctions. It is not my intent to take amendments or move the bill today. However, during the previous hearing, members expressed concerns about the investigation and disciplinary process. The purpose of today's meeting is to have experts available to address these concerns. My office over the last week or so has been reaching out to stakeholders and working with the board and agency staff to explore the following. First, whether the board is doing all that it can to keep bad actors out of the field. Second, if the board needs more authority to suspend licenses when needed, or if changing the law would be useless due to constitutional due process concerns and property rights. And third, whether an interim report on the audit recommendations would be better than a full audit in less than 6 years. Agency staff has looked into these issues and provided a memo with a few recommended changes, which has been posted on bases and distributed to committee members. I want to remind everyone that division staff, board members, and legislators cannot comment on any issues currently being investigated or in an administrative hearing process, including appeals. Questions should be asked without mentioning specific names. We can follow up with the division about details of specific cases within appropriate confidentiality constraints and after the meeting, and we'll distribute the information to members. So we have the following people available for questions online. We have Sarah Chambers, the Department of Labor and Commerce and Professional Licensing. We have Henry Tiffany, the Board President, Big Game Commercial Services Board. I see Greg Francois, the Chief Investigator, Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. I see Robert Auth, the Department of Law, Assistant Attorney General. I see Major Bernard Chastain, Deputy Director, Alaska Wildlife Troopers. And then Chris Curtis is in the room. And thank you. So that was the overview. We tried to address some of the committee's concerns about making sure that this board has the teeth that it needs or would like to have to make decisions about guides and licenses and whether property rights how that interplays with license renewals, particularly while people may be under investigation or are indicted with a criminal case. So I have four or five questions here that are kind of general that we try to summarize from the last meeting. I'm going to start off, and we have several folks on the phone. I will try to address the question to the person that I think is best answered, but I'd like the other folks, the panel, if you will, to chime in. So the first question that I have could be directed to Ms. Sarah Chambers. To start our discussion, can you briefly recap the investigation process and when and how the board can take action within a criminal and civil investigation? Ms. Chambers.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, this is Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. I'm happy to give an overview of the investigation process and how we work with our fellow criminal agencies. So first, our investigation process typically begins when a complaint is registered with our agency. Sometimes this complaint can come from a member of the public, another licensee. Sometimes it will come through the Department of Public Safety through a criminal investigation that tips us off to something that is in process on their side. So in the matter, in a matter that doesn't come from another law enforcement agency, we will intake a complaint, gather information that's needed to move forward, and determine whether there is jurisdiction, meaning that is there, is it this board's authority to continue through if there is a violation, or is it something that rests with another agency, for example, Fish and Game, DNR. If it is something, though, that this board has the governs the statutes or regulations over, then we'll move forward with a more thorough investigation and include a member of the board who is a licensed member of that profession to help provide that expert insight and information that our staff can't get because we are not registered members of the professions that we regulate. So we'll work with that board member to thoroughly investigate and then move forward with the advice of that board member. Sometimes the board member would like further experts to assist. Sometimes the board member says that an investigation could be closed, that there's something that's maybe not fantastic that's going on, but it certainly isn't a violation of the law. And sometimes there is a reasonable belief that a violation has occurred, and then that moves forward to the board to determine final discipline. In the case of criminal matters, we will log a complaint in our system that gives us the heads up that there is a criminal investigation happening. We have determined through years of refining our processes, including a lot of quality time spent with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee a few years ago, have concluded that it's really a wise use of our state resources to allow criminal investigators and criminal authorities to perform their job, and then our civil office, which is what we are not a criminal agency, we're a civil agency, that once a criminal investigation is concluded and there has been a conviction, then that conviction comes to our attention and our board can take action, again, if it's jurisdictional. In the case of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, there is a list of criminal opportunities for someone to run afoul of criminal law, which triggers automatic responses from our board. So sometimes the board must take action. Sometimes something will happen that will cause a licensee to not be able to renew their license because of a criminal investigation and conviction. And there is also an opportunity for a judge to revoke a license or order the board to revoke a license. We prefer that if it is a matter of law that would impact a licensee's ability to practice, that the judge make that determination. And when that doesn't happen, it prolongs the process and the board must take that up. So I'll stop there and see if that adequately answers your question, but I'm certainly available for additional questions you may have.
Does the committee members have any questions at this time for Ms. Chambers? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the recommendations that you made was to potentially change AS 08-54-605. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's the eligibility for licenses.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we responded to the committee's questions about whether there is an opportunity to increase the board's authority, as the chairman mentioned. if it is the will of the committee to augment the authority of the board, these were some of our suggestions. The board under 605 that you're asking about, when there are particular offenses that are listed in the memo, right now the board may prevent someone from receiving a license or prevent someone from renewing a license. However, and I'll call on my lifeline sitting here with me, Chief Investigator Francois and AAG Oth, if I'm misspeaking at all, but right now there is nothing that would automatically revoke a license, would prevent someone from holding a license under if these violations occur. There is an opportunity for the board to pursue a administrative process to evaluate whether revocation is appropriate, but there isn't, to use the chairman's word, there aren't the teeth to check a box and say, this has happened, therefore your license shall be revoked. Adding the word hold potentially does that, but as the chairman mentioned, there may be constitutional issues with due process.
Senator Wilkowski, did you want to ask a second question, or do we want to have Mr. Francois?
No, I heard from Mr. Francois if he had a statement.
Mr. Francois, would you like to make a further comment?
I have no comment through the chair. Good morning. This is Greg Francois, for the record, Chief Investigator for CBPL. I have no further comment other than what Director Chambers has elaborated on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see Chair, Co-Chair Stedman, followed by Senator Olson. You have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, I was wondering if we can get a little help on that 08-54-610. The other proposal looks like a substantial proposed change when you look at the numerics in experience and references. And if they could have somebody talk about where these, you know, why they're proposing to go from 12 to 15, and then from 15 to 20 years, and then from 25 clients to 45, and 10 positive reviews to 30, just to give us a benchmark. Were these scientifically picked, randomly selected, or what kind of process was underway to target these numerics?
So I'm not sure. This is Senator Von Imhoff. I do want to say thank you for the panel here that have all taken the time to be here today. But the issue is I'm not sure of you who is the person to address this. Ms. Chambers, I think that we're looking at page 2 of the memo that you handed out of potential changes. Did you help author those? Is that something that you can comment on?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Sarah Chambers. We recognize in working together over the last few days, we recognize that the Master Guide license, which this pertains to, is really an honorary title. There are no additional actions that a Master Guide can take, that a Registered Guide, which is a lower level of license, still a level of proficiency, but a lower level of license. Those two have the equal ability to practice guiding and outfitting. And one of the concerns that was raised from the committee was whether it should be, as we understood it, was whether it should be a little bit more stricter, a little bit more stringent to meet the qualifications for a master guide at the top of someone's profession. So I think the other half of the senator's question might best be answered by the board chair, Henry Tiffany, who I understand is also on the line. He is a master guide and provided those numbers.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Tiffany, could you please try in and talk about the difference between a master guide and potentially giving that more teeth by elevating the number of years in service?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for the record, and Chairman of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. As Ms. Chambers outlined, basically the title or the license of Master Guide is an honorarium. It does not entitle an individual who holds a Master Guide license to realistically and practically do much more than a registered guide can do. The biggest difference being that in advertising, they can call themselves a Master Guide, which is not permissible by someone who does not actually hold a Master Guide license. So it, more than anything, it is to indicate that a person has been in the field as a professional guide for a long period of time and theoretically has risen to the highest level of standards and professionalism that can be achieved in the professional guiding field. So as the group, this panel, reviewed things, it was felt that because of that, that we, if we are elevating Master Guide to the cream of the crop, so to speak, that the standards should be higher and more stringent than they were. To answer the senator's question, was this determined scientifically? No, it was not. But as a Master Guide myself, who has been guiding now over 30 years, looking at the numbers, it seemed appropriate as we are trying to raise the standards of the Master Guide license and what goes with that to increase the requirements slightly to 15 years and then increase the number of clients. As it currently is, you must submit a list of 25 clients and receive favorable recommendations from at least 10 of those 25. That is less than 50%. And if we are going to bestow on an individual this highest class of license available, we felt that it should be more than 50% favorable, and that 45 clients, requiring them to submit a list of 45 clients, is at a minimum three hunters that they have guided per year over the last 15 years. That's not an unreasonable number. It's a relatively low number because it does not require that individual to have contracted to that client, but to have provided services in the field. So that could be either a hunt they contracted themselves, or if they were working for someone else, they were providing the services as that hunter's actual in-the-field guide. So 45 does not seem like an unreasonable number, nor does receiving 30 favorable recommendations, which seems more appropriate when perhaps bestowing this this highest class of license and honorarium to an individual. Does that help to answer the question?
Senator Steadman? Yes, he's nodding yes. We have Senator Olson. Thank you, Mr. Tiffany, by the way. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Tiffany, as we've looked at these changes for 605 and 610, there's only one word on 605 that's being added, and that's hold. These are recommendations put forth by the licensing division there. Is the board in favor of these changes for both 605 and 610?
Thank you, through the chair. Senator, I am speaking as the chairman. This has not yet gone before the entire board. We do have our April meeting scheduled for next week in Anchorage. So it would be inappropriate for me to say that the whole board is in support of this because they have not been made aware of this and we have not had a chance as a board to discuss it. I do believe as chairman that the board, once this is explained and we discuss it, I have the strong suspicion that the board will be in support of this. The board has felt at times that our hands were tied and we didn't have the teeth that we felt we should sometimes. So I cannot say for sure, but I would think that the board will be in support of both of these changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No further questions.
So, Mr. Tiffany, just to follow up, the board is meeting next week, that first week of April, and you will be bringing up this subject. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair, that is correct.
Do you feel comfortable after the board has discussed it to write the committee a follow-up letter with the summary of your findings or decisions based on these recommendations?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would be more than happy to do so.
Okay, and you can do that in a timely matter, as in a couple days after the board meeting, so we're not left hanging?
Easily, yes.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Senator Wilikowski.
On the issue of investigations, which was a concern in the 2015, 2011, and 2007 audits, the governor's executive order, administrative order 306, consolidates investigators. And I'm just curious, from Ms. Chambers or Mr. Francois, I assume your department your division is impacted by that. And how do you see that impacting the ability to conduct investigations?
Through the chair, this is Sarah Chambers. Senator Wilikowski, we are just beginning as a state. We are included, our agency is included, and we are just beginning as a state to start the process of refining how Administrative Order 306 will be implemented. We are looking at, we don't know the answers yet, but we are looking at opportunities to ensure that resources are streamlined and that the expertise that resides within the Department of Law is more closely associated with various agencies' investigative protocols and practices. So we're seeing it as potentially something very very positive, but the details of how that will impact our investigations are not yet known.
So Senator Wilikowski actually brings up a good point. I do want to make a brief comment that Senator Schauer has been here for a while and Senator Hoffman just joined us. The investigations are changing, and it's not just affecting the Big Game Alaska board. There are other boards as well. So one of the questions came up in the previous meeting about whether we should do perhaps a mini audit of sorts with this particular board of just the investigations portion, maybe 3 years into this 6-year sunset. The question then began to grow broader in terms of, rather than this board in particular, what about we do through LEDGE budget and audit an investigations audit 3 years from now with this new process and new structure, and that we could wrap in all the different boards that are affected by this investigations. So that is an idea that we're pursuing. I'm certainly open to discussion on that. We also have Chris Curtis here and Sarah Chambers. Is this an avenue, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, I'll just speak for myself, but yeah, absolutely. I'm concerned about that administrative order. I'm concerned that you're taking investigators who have expertise in the various divisions and departments and consolidating them, and I just don't know how it's going to work. Maybe it'll be great, maybe it'll save a lot of money, but maybe it'll be a complete disaster. So I would absolutely support that, Madam Chair.
Okay. I actually have a question for myself as well. One of the questions that I had, and this could potentially be for Major Bernard Chastain, licenses can be suspended if there's a clear and immediate danger to public health and safety. Is hunting out of season or outside of an area permitting to hunting considered an immediate danger?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senate Finance Committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Bernard Chastain. I'm the Deputy Director for the Wildlife Troopers. And your question has to do with immediate health and safety for revocation or suspension of a license. To my knowledge, that has not been used by the board And from a public safety standpoint, we would not consider that to be something that we would request or would be expected that a license would be suspended or revoked immediately.
So you do not think that it poses a large enough of a public safety to warrant further review?
Madam Chair, my job is on the criminal side of the house, and so we don't deal with the license suspension or revocation. However, we do, after we're done with the criminal investigation as it goes through the process, we forward that to the board or to Commerce for discussion. We also work very closely with the investigators. Typically, a hunting violation which results in guiding or hunting outside of an area would not constitute an immediate suspension.
Okay. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chesney, has, as you look at those parameters that you've just outlined, has there ever been in the past, and I know you don't anticipate in the future, how about in the past, have you ever had to take this immediate action? Or has the department or any official from the department have to take any of this immediate action?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, My job, again, is on the criminal side, and so the Department of Public Safety, Alaska Wildlife Troopers, don't have that authority to deal with licensing. That licensing authority is held within Commerce and the Big Game Commercial Services Board.
Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Yes.
Mr. Chesney, you have to admit, though, that you are a key factor in what the department's going to do with the license, correct?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, the way this works is the legislature statutes in AS 08 are primarily what we work with. And so as the criminal case works through the court system, we are obviously very involved in that case as we work with the district attorney's office. Sometimes those cases go quickly, and sometimes those cases take quite some time through due process as they work through the system. Typically, the case is held in abeyance on the civil side until such time that the case on the criminal side is done. Once that is concluded, we give the report and the information from the criminal case to the investigator for the board, and they move forward. We also have discussions with them about the seriousness of the violation and how that would judge has imposed as far as any type of criminal sanctions such as revocation or suspension of hunting license or a guide license. So to answer your question, yes, we discuss with the investigator whether or not the judge has imposed a revocation or suspension of the license, but the decision is with the board and Commerce as far as what happens with that license.
So, thank you. I think what we're asking is whether hunting outside of season or outside of an area is considered an immediate danger to the public. And I'm not necessarily asking whether it is or is not in current statute and what the process is. I'm asking whether you feel that this is something this committee should take a look at, since we are adding or we're considering and talking about different statute changes in regards to this board. Is this something that this committee should take a look at while the opportunity presents itself?
Thank you, Madam Chair. From my position as enforcement on the criminal side, we do not believe that hunting outside of an area or outside of a game management unit is a public safety concern. It is a boundary violation. They are charged appropriately under Alaska Statute AS 08 and charged criminally for that. But that would be the legislature's purview to decide whether they wanted to add that or the board's purview.
Okay, thank you. So I think going back to our previous question, Senator Olson, are you satisfied with that answer?
Yes, that's fine, Madam Chairman.
Okay. So while we have Chris Curtis in the room, if it's the committee's pleasure, I would like to invite Ms. Curtis to the table just to ask her about the proposal of an audit on the investigative process maybe 3 years from now. Thank you, Ms. Curtis, for coming to the bench.
record, my name is Chris Curtis, your state legislative auditor. Madam Chair, if the question is, can we do an audit in 3 years over the investigative process? Certainly. My only hesitation is just to make sure we have enough time after it's been implemented to evaluate how it's working. So I don't know how long it's going to take to implement this. If it takes a year and a half, 3 years from now may not be an adequate time to look back and say, how is it working? That's my only hesitation.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. When you say implemented, the implement the new change of the investigative process, and then you need to allow, you're suggesting we need to allow it to occur to we, so we get data by which to analyze.
Yes.
Senator, Co-Chair Stedman.
Then would it be more feasible to shorten the extension from 6 years to 5 years or 4 years?
Senator Stedman, through the chair, that's certainly up to policymakers. If the question is whether the consolidation of the investigative staff should impact the extension of this board, that's up to you. Our issue with the investigations was there was no documentation for us to determine the efficiency in which it's happening. There just was unjustified periods of inactivity. We didn't know what was happening. It was just long spans of time where nothing was happening. We couldn't make a judgment on whether that was appropriate or not. So the concerns I'm hearing from this body is different than what we necessarily found in the audit. So I guess in your response, I wouldn't encourage to make a change in the sunset extension based on the consolidation of the and I would suggest if we are going to look at the consolidation that we broaden it. This board has challenges regarding working with the wildlife troopers and having a criminal investigation going on consecutively with the other issues that do make this a longer term type of investigation. But if the question is how the consolidation impacts all occupational boards, that's a much different question and would be, I think, a topic for a special audit.
I think that, thank you very much. I think that perhaps we should, at our next LEDGE budget and audit committee, bring this subject up and talk about it then. And you did state earlier when we had you here before the challenge of the reason why you chose 6 years is that you are scheduling all the audits and you're looking at your entire portfolio. And if I heard correctly from the committee members, there was more of a concern about the investigations versus the entire audit. So this is something that I think that we should try to pursue, not necessarily my personal recommendation about keeping the sunset at six and looking at the pinpointing the investigations process within all the boards. And this is something that we perhaps can do with LBNA. So thank you, Ms. Curtis. Unless there's any further questions by board members. Okay. Thank you. We do have our panel still online, and I want to make good use of their time because they are giving their time for us today, and we appreciate it. The issue that we heard, just to summarize, was whether a registered guide who is a permit holder, if that is a piece of property that can be revoked for under a certain set of circumstances, whether it be criminal or something of that nature. And I think that we do have the Department of Law here. Let me see. We have, would that be Robert Auth, you pronounce that? Can you discuss how a permit is as a property of a person, of a guide?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Robert Auth, and I'm with the Department of Law. Generally speaking, all professional licenses have been found by the court to be property of the holder of the license. And so given that the license itself is a property right, it can't be taken away or diminished except through due process. I mean, that's about as simply as I can say it. And so so there are only very limited circumstances where you can take or suspend a license prior to providing notice and a hearing. And one of them is the summary suspension statute where a license, any license, not just a guide license, can be immediately suspended, that is, without notice and a hearing, if there is if they represent a clear and immediate danger to public health and safety. And then statute requires that you have a hearing within 7 days of the suspension. And so that complies with due process. So that's the simple answer to the question.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Auth. Did you review the suggested changes, for example, adding the word hold to statute 08.54.605, and is that permissible in the due process that description that you just mentioned?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have reviewed it. There would have to be a review of the due process issues that this raises as to whether it could provide an immediate suspension. It may be that the effect of the statute would be that the license could be or would be revoked if these convictions were established, but only after notice and a hearing. Now, that would be the question as to what point in the process would the suspension or revocation take place, immediately without notice and a hearing or after providing notice and a hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Auth. I think that we have suggested changes that have been mentioned by Ms. Sarah Chambers as well as Board Chair Henry Tiffany. And before he meets with his board next week, I think that it would be nice to know whether these suggested changes are legal or whether they fall within the purview of the property rights of a permit. Do you feel that it's appropriate for your department to take a look at these suggested changes and provide an opinion?
Madam Chair, yes. That would be appropriate, and I am going to be meeting with the board next week to discuss these and other matters.
So you will be meeting with the board next week to discuss this and other matters. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, committee members. Do we have any questions at all for the panel that we have here? Seeing none, I'd like to thank the folks on the phone. I really appreciate you giving your time to answer the questions today. So this will conclude today's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday at 9 a.m. We will be hearing Senate Bill 16, alcohol licensing, fairs, theaters, concerts, bonds. We may add other bills. My office will let you know as soon as the agenda is finalized. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. The meeting is adjourned.